Line, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. Snowed in yet again today, but today I don't have any NFL games to watch tonight, so I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. But joining us now is Mitch Light, who covers college football for The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate you for joining us. Hoping things have slowed down at least the teeniest, tiniest bit since the national championship game, since the announcement of Nick Saban's retirement. But there has officially been a changing of the guards in Tuscaloosa. Alabama has hired Kalen DeBoer from Washington to be their next head coach. And I don't think this was necessarily the sexy hire. It wasn't a Lane Kiffin or a Dan Lanning or any of the big personality young coaches out there. But in your opinion, was it the right hire?
I think they had, if we are, it's common sense, conventional wisdom to say who was going to be on the short list. And if you looked at who got extensions or announced their returns to their current schools on social media, we could figure out who was involved. And I actually think there was a really strong list of candidates. I think Mike Norvell might have been the best of all worlds, like a proven head coach, a guy that, while he's not in the SEC, he recruits against SEC teams. His school's very active and aggressive in NIL, all that stuff. So I thought, he would have been maybe my number one choice, but I'm a huge Kalen DeBoer fan, been, following his career since he basically became the, offensive coordinator to Indiana when I remember they hired him away from Fresno State, has done a fantastic job. And, his resume is just, winners win. It's
Right.
went like what, like 55-3 at Sioux Falls, and I know it's an NAIA school, but he still won big there, one at Fresno, one at Washington. Now, the fair criticism, if you want to say, is his, recruiting. And it's a different animal in the SEC, and I was preparing some stuff for our podcast. And, right now, class of 2023 at Washington. So that was his first full cycle. Number 26 class. Not bad, not great. And then class of 2024, coming off of his breakthrough season, number 41 class. Now, it was small, 15 players, so that affects your overall rating. But he has not signed a top 200 player in his two full classes at Washington. Now, I know he, it's a different animal at Alabama. He knows that. He's in the midst of hiring a really good staff, and that they'll understand what they have to do to win at Alabama. So I guess, Caroline, my long-winded answer is saying I like the hire a lot. With one small caveat, you want to see how he does in recruiting.
And I think it's fair. When you bring in a coach that doesn't have any experience coaching in the South, I mean, Kalen DeBoer's been at Sioux Falls and Fresno State and Washington. He's not familiar with the southeastern portion of the United States. And it was, I think, a fair criticism when LSU hired Brian Kelly as well. But when you bring in a Kalen DeBoer, he's won everywhere where he's been. When we talked with you last week after Nick Saban retired, you said it's good for teams like Tennessee, who maybe, ran into Alabama every year, and that was the biggest roadblock to get past, that maybe playing Nick Saban and playing Alabama stopped them from achieving their goals. What do you think the timeline for Kalen DeBoer is? Can you, now that they have their next head coach, can you look at teams like Tennessee and say, okay, well, at least that big crimson wall is out of the way?
It's still about talent, and Alabama and Georgia, and then to a lesser degree LSU and maybe Texas A&M have the most talent in the SEC. And DeBoer is inherit you can say he's inheriting a difficult situation from, taking over from Nick Saban, but he's also inheriting. I know guys have transferred out, but Alabama's 2023 signing class, not this past year, had 9 5-stars in it. It was unprecedented, more than Texas A&M's record-breaking class a couple years ago. 9 5-star players. So he is inheriting a talented roster. Now we looked at this team last year, and even though they made the playoff, it was not a vintage Alabama team. It wasn't like, wow, they're great at this spot, they're great at this spot. But it's still a ton of talent. So, Tennessee's the world, Auburn, whatever. They're not going to be facing a Nick Saban Alabama team, but they'll be facing a team with a ton of talent with a coach who's done nothing but win. So while we said it was a good day for Tennessee, it was a good day for a lot of these programs because maybe that Nick Saban game's like near sure death experience. Maybe now it's just a near death experience. And hey, Tennessee beat him 2 years ago, and Auburn's had some success. It's not like he
Yeah.
never lost a game.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, Mitch, let's talk about Jim Harbaugh. Do you think it'd be beneficial for him to stay at Michigan? I mean, he's won a championship. He's done everything that the Michigan fans wanted him to do or expected him to do when he took the job years ago. I know NFL teams are looking at him, but to me, it just it he can have a career like Nick Saban had in Alabama, a tenure like Nick Saban had in Alabama. Do you think he stay, or do you think they ante up some more money and keep him in Michigan?
I don't think it's about the money. I mean, I'm not obviously a Michigan insider. I just think it's about what he wants to do. And if he wanted to stay at Michigan, they Ward Manuel, the AD, said they've got a contract out to him. I'm sure coming off a national championship, I wouldn't say it's a blank check, but probably close to a blank check. And it just seems like he wants to coach in the NFL again. I mean, that's what his actions kind of suggest. And he interviewed with the Chargers yesterday, and you could argue this is a perfect time to leave. Just won a national championship at his alma mater, had a great 3-year run after people kind of wanted to run him out of town there. So, again, I don't pretend to know what makes Jim Harbaugh tick. That's very dangerous to figure out what's in that mind of his. But I think we've seen the
Tread
last of
lightly.
Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, I think we've seen the last of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
Now, they just wrapped up their coaches convention here in Nashville not too long ago. And the only reason I know that because my cousin's a coach and I got a chance to meet up with him for a few hours. But the big topic there was Louisville, Oregon, and FSU, Ohio State, as far as their transfers they got. They did, went into the portal and got some key guys. Out of those teams, who you think benefited the most from the portal?
Oregon did, a lot of it's not new. They appear, there's not many sure things in the portal, especially at like offensive line. A lot of teams try to plug some holes there, but I would say Dillon Gabriel at quarterback for Oregon is as sure of a thing. Like, we know he's going to be really good there, and they've got a very good roster. So I think from a portal standpoint, and they just picked up a few more guys this week, Oregon's in great shape. I think just from a personnel standpoint, though, Ohio State, no program had a better week than Ohio State this past weekend. Obviously, Nick Saban and Alabama were in the news and all that, but they had a lot of guys come back that, I did Travion Henderson, the running back, Emeka, I was going to say Emeka Okafor. Willie would remember that name, former NBA player, but Egbuka, talented wide receiver. Both defensive ends who were five stars, Jack Sawyer and JTT. If you would have told me 3 years ago when they signed two of the top six players in the country at defensive end, a premium position in the NFL, if those guys would be back for their senior year, I said, you're crazy. And, part of it, they've been good, but maybe not all America great, but having those guys great. So I think, you saw Ohio State maybe as a fringe top five team and a lot of these way too early top 25s. That's because a lot of people just assumed a lot of these guys were gone. So I think from a personnel standpoint, Ohio State had the best, last week or two, and they're going to be loaded for next year.
Now the portal is what it is, and we've seen some of the really good stories in regards to the portal, and I'm sure there are many more bad stories in regards to the portal. But do you think they get control of what's going on? Because it just seems like things are just moving at a fast pace. It seems like it's going to get worse before it gets better. But do you think there's anything they can do to sort of manage it?
Well, one thing that I liked the idea of was, enforcing the multi, two-time transfers, and that seemed to go by the wayside. I admittedly don't follow this end of it as close as, just like teams and personnel in the NCAA rules and stuff. But, obviously that looked like, once you transfer once, you can't transfer again unless you're a grad transfer. And that seemed to, we at least coaches would know their rosters more. Like if they have, but if you get a transfer and he's a sophomore, you're going to have him for the next 2 or 3 years. Now, guys, if guys are going to be allowed to continue to transfer multiple times, that just makes it even, so difficult for these coaches to manage the roster. So I don't know, Derek, to answer your question. I mean, there's two different things. One is, can they, NIL, and one is the transfer. They're both equally frustrating for coaches, and coaches want something to get done on that. I almost think there'll be something done on NIL more than transfers because, they've already allowing the trade. They're not going to go back. They're not going to make kids sit out a year after transferring. So I don't really know what the remedy would be other than tightening the rule on the two-time transfers.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. Mitch, let me get your thoughts on the two coordinators that Kaden DeBoer has come up with. I know one of them has come with him from Washington. The other, I know he has a track record from behind, from the past with. So what do you think of the two coordinators?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. And, from that regard, there's not going to be more kind of respected coaching staffs in the country as when you're talking about the head coach and two coordinators. And, Ryan Grubb is the offensive coordinator who came with Kalen DeBoer from Fresno State to Washington and was just fantastic. And Alabama tried to hire him last year. This wasn't one of those where they looked at him and picked someone else. Ryan Grubb flew from Seattle to Washington, and he just decided to go back to Washington because he thought, he's buddies with Kalen DeBoer, but he thought they had something special going, and he was right there. So he will be a head coach very soon. He wanted the Washington head coaching job, but they didn't hire him. And then Kane Womack, they hired away as he was the head coach at South Alabama. It's 3 years there and is, did a really good job, won 10 games, I think, 2 years ago. He was on the Indiana staff when Kalen DeBoer was the offensive coordinator. Kane Womack was the defensive coordinator, played at Auburn. Again, highly respected. And, this is kind of an interesting move, leaving a group of five school to be a coordinator. It's not unprecedented. Dan Enos, the former Michigan State quarterback, was the head coach at Central Michigan and doing a decent job there about 10, 15 years ago. And he left to become the offensive coordinator, I think Arkansas at the time, and he's bounced around, obviously got fired from Arkansas this year. So it's actually, I think, Willie, probably a pretty good career move for Kane Womack because he's already proven he can win as a head coach at a G5 level. Then you go back, you go to Alabama and have success as a defensive coordinator. He becomes a really attractive coaching candidate for another SEC job or a Big Ten job if he can, enjoy success, which we all think he will.
Here's the question that is always one, and Mitch, you know the history of the league. You've seen some guys crash and burn, but DeBoer, you just talked about his maybe lack of familiarity with recruiting in the SEC, but I also think, too, there's an art form to being able to handle the spotlight. And Caroline mentioned Brian Kelly, who definitely had experience handling the media and the spotlight, the glare when you're at a high-profile SEC team. I'm wondering about DeBoer's media training. If they lose a game they're not supposed to lose early and everybody's in a panic, which just happens at places like that, can he, stay steady through all that? That's really a skill that you've got to have.
I think so, and I think he has a good temperament for the job. And I know, obviously I don't know Kalen DeBoer, but I worked with Christian Capel, our outstanding former Washington writer, and Christian got to know Kalen pretty well and just raved about him, just being just understands the media, just a very normal person. Just you can have a conversation with them. And, you contrast that to, I don't mean to pick on someone like Butch Jones, but like Butch Jones was just like the opposite, just got so wrapped. Like, I thought Butch Jones was a good hire, and I think he's probably a good football coach at Tennessee, but he didn't handle all of the other stuff you're talking about, Willie, being in the spotlight. He couldn't handle all that. And I think Kalen, if you ask coaches, Kalen DeBoer's temperament and personality versus someone like Butch Jones is completely different. So I think even though he hasn't been in the spotlight, Seattle's a pro sports town. Washington's a good program, good tradition, but obviously they're not covered like in Alabama. So this will be new to him, but I think he is well prepared for it.
Circling back to D. Mace's line of questioning on the Michigan thing, is there an obvious successor to Harbaugh if he were to up and take an NFL job?
I mean, I think it'd be hard for them not to hire Sherrone Moore, the offensive coordinator. He was highly respected, did a great job with that offense. And then talk about on the job training and difficult situations. He is the head interim or the acting head coach. It takes them into Penn State. They win. They beat Ohio State. The offense, again, was, it wasn't the most explosive offense, but, he, by all accounts, he's highly respected. So I think that they go that route. If not, the two coaches that I would have said that would have been on my short list for Michigan were just recently hired, Kalen DeBoer to Alabama and Jed Fish from Arizona to Washington. I think both those guys there. So, again, I would be surprised if it's not Sherrone Moore.
Well, my last question, I'll throw it back to the snowbirds back there. As I look at the ghost out here, I was disappointed in Charlie Baker's sort of just what I read, a sort of a glossing over, downplaying of the whole sign stealing thing. I mean, here's a guy that's new at his job, and I think he's done some really good things to sort of address, what the issues are, and I'm curious what he tries to do. But that, you know, he just downplayed the depth of what the Big Ten teams did to expose how different, when he just basically said everybody's trying to steal signs. Well, yeah, but not the way that Michigan was doing it. So that really disappointed me.
Yeah, I can't obviously speak for his motives there. You know, the only thing I'm thinking is like in the afterglow, that's the right word, of the championship, just kind of take the high road. You know, he could be saying one thing, but with the investigation doing something else, we don't know that to be the case. And, you know, I don't know what, you know, expect him to say, really, honestly. He's like, yeah, they cheated. I can't believe they, we should strip the trophy. Obviously, you know, not to that extent, but it's a difficult situation for him to be in. And I would think the actions will speak louder than his words right after the championship.
All right, Mitch Leight is with us with The Athletic. Mitch, on the topic of Jim Harbaugh, I saw today that he's been negotiating one clause in his contract that he gets immunity if the NCAA does come down with certain sanctions, which I think is the biggest admission of guilt of, hey, if I get trouble, you can't fire me. But I think that's one of the reasons why Jim Harbaugh may choose to leave college football to go to the NFL, is possibly to dodge some potential NCAA violations. So if you have to, put, you're anchored down, so to speak, of where Jim Harbaugh is going to be coaching in 2024, is it at Michigan or is it the NFL?
I would say Michigan. NFL. For all the reasons I said before and the reasons what you just said right there, clearly he's wants to go back to the NFL. You know, he flirted with the Minnesota Vikings last year, 2 years ago. He's interviewing, you know, he's had ample opportunities to sign a new contract that's been in front of him for, I think, weeks. He's had ample opportunities to say the right things, and he hasn't. So, you know, his actions speak loudly. He was in LA interviewing with the Chargers yesterday. So combine all that with the NCAA stuff, it just makes a lot of sense for him to move on. And not that he should take a job because he wants to give someone else the opportunity, but he also has the opportunity to hand over the program, if that's the way to go, to Sharon Moore, a guy who was obviously very loyal to him with his F-bombs on national TV, a strong relationship. So it's not like he's leaving and saying, oh, what's going to happen to my program? There's no caretaker. There's no one to take over. He's got a guy that he obviously likes, and I would think the program would be in really good shape if he does hand it over to him.
Now, Mitch, quickly before we get you out of here, with that being said, should the next coach, if indeed Jim moves on to the NFL, should the next coach be worried about these looming, allegations or this looming investigation over the program? Because, yeah, it may take 2 years, or it may take a year, it may take 10 years, but they may come back and start removing scholarships and vacating wins and stuff like that. So should the next guy be worried?
It's hard to answer. It would not prevent me, if it was my client, I would say don't not take this job because of that. Just go in prepared. And, you know, I'm sure in the interview process, that's obviously comes up. What are some of the possible, effects, ramifications down the stretch there? But, you know, if you have an opportunity to be the head coach at Michigan and you're worried about losing 5 scholarships in 2 years, then, I don't know what to tell you. It's like the NCAA, at least we haven't seen, it's like we're not going back to the SMU death penalty days. So very few programs are hit with sanctions or probation, anything that's so hard to overcome. You know, I can't really think of anything that's been crippling in the last 10 years to a program. So, it could be an issue down the road, but I don't think it should really affect anyone's decision.
Can you see them vacating the 23-24 season?
Wouldn't stun me. I'm not a huge fan of vacating. Like Louisville, I think the national championship is still vacated in basketball. Like, who cares? I mean, they're the national champion, so you don't see a banner up there. So that wouldn't surprise me. I think where was I? This was just – I was involved in a conversation with some people from work who might have been at this – heard Charlie Baker talk, and people kind of mock the vacating wins because no one really cares. But the NCAA – evidently said they still like doing it. Not like they like doing it. They're still in favor of that as a punishment because schools don't like it and coaches don't like it. It angers them. So like they still think it's a big deal to the schools, even if the fans and media don't care. So I think that's still on the table Whether it's going to be on the table for Michigan or not, we'll find out. But we'll continue to see that punishment, I think.
But it is so silly.
You could
take the banner away. You can say it's vacated, but you know, it doesn't take away the championship, really. You know, you still, and I don't think about Reggie Bush not being a Heisman Trophy winner just because they took the trophy away. But I guess the NCAA has to use all of the everything that they can use to try and still be a governing body in college football. But Mitch Light of The Athletic, Mitch, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and we'll chat next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Yep.
All right, appreciate it. Mitch Light of The Athletic, he does fantastic work covering college football, and we always appreciate him. But coming up next, Titans coaching search. The Titans have cast a very wide net. They've requested to interview several coaches, defensive coaches, offensive coordinators, but their most recent request for an interview from an offensive coordinator across the NFL, I think, set Titans Twitter ablaze when the news came out last night. And we will discuss that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.